Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. And we're in Ephesians chapter 4. And if you have a Bible or a laptop or an iPhone or whatever kind of technological device, we're in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. And what I think we'll do this morning, as I'm preaching, I'll move through these verses of Scripture today. Would that be okay? All right. That's okay with six of you. All right. Remember, you get as much out of worship as you put into it. You get as much out of worship as you put into it. And wasn't the song selection just fantastic this morning? I don't know how you all are, but when I start thinking about the cross and I start thinking about what God saved me from and I start thinking about how the Lord has blessed me in my life, something inside of me just got to get out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. He's Lord of all this morning. Now, we've been talking in the book of Ephesians about walking worthy of our calling. Walking worthy of our calling. You remember last week, we talked about how God does extreme makeovers. I had a lady call me this week and tell me that God was doing this makeover in her life and she was renewing her spirit. It just blessed me. To hear that. You remember last week as we were talking about extreme makeovers and how God takes the old you and creates a new you. That only happens from being born again. That whole process starts with the new birth. You must be born again. And once you've been born again, once you've received this extreme makeover, you need to be renewed on a regular basis. And we talked about that last week. Well, what we've got this morning in verses 25 through the end of the chapter in Ephesians 4 is what the new you looks like. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to look at you this morning. Yeah. And so the picture that we have here, y'all, is of the old person that you used to be, and as you're moving forward in this makeover process, the picture that we've got is of a person laying aside some old garments, some old clothes. I call them rotten rags. And then we're to put on the royal robes of Christ. So y'all jump on the horse and get with me this morning. We're going to move pretty quickly. The first thing that article of clothing, this old garment, these rotten rags that we need to lay aside and take off, is the rotten rags of untruth. Untruth, the rotten rags of untruth. Look at verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying. Isn't it amazing that God would have to tell us not to lie? Putting away lying, that's one of the rotten rags that I want to talk about this morning that we need to lay aside. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth. So we're to lay aside the rotten rag of untruth. Lying is a sin, the sin of untruth. Little Leroy was having a birthday, and he decided he'd just run downstairs and tell his mama what he wanted for his birthday. And so he heads to the kitchen. His mom's making dinner. He says, Mama, I've decided I want a brand new bicycle for my birthday. And she looked at Leroy and said, well, Leroy, do you deserve a new bicycle this year? And, of course, Leroy said, well, sure I do. Well, little Leroy had been in trouble the last 6 months every day at school and at home. And so she said, Leroy, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go upstairs to your bedroom and reflect on whether or not you've been a good boy this year and whether or not you deserve a new bicycle. And I want you to write a letter to God according to that. And so Leroy kind of stomped upstairs and sat down and grabbed some paper, and he started writing God a letter, and he said, "God, I've been a good boy this year. How about a new bicycle?" And then he got to looking at that and said, "That's not quite true." So he tore it up and started a second letter and said, "Dear God, I did okay this year, and I still want a new bicycle." And he got to read, "Well, that's not really true either." And so he wrote a third letter to God and said, "Dear God, I promise to be a good boy this year if you'll give me a brand new bicycle." Well, that wasn't true either. So he tore it up, stomped down the steps, told his mama, "I'm going to church." And mama thought, "Oh, the plan has worked." And so little Leroy heads down to the church, bolts in the front door, goes down the aisle, gets up at the altar, looks around to see if anybody's watching, and grabs a statue, a small statue of the Virgin Mary, puts it under his coat, heads back home, races in the front door, heads up the steps to his bedroom, sits down and begins to write, "Dear God, I've got your mama. If you want to see her again, send the bike. Signed, you know who." We need to put away lying, untruth. The sin of lying is the sin of untruth. You know, it breaks the ninth commandment when we lie, when we don't speak truth. And Proverbs 6, verses 17 and 19 tell us that God hates a lie. God hates a lie. Why is that? Well, because God operates on truth. God is truth. Isn't that what Jesus said? "I am the truth and the life." And so God operates on truth. Satan operates on deception. He is the father of all lies, the scripture says. And so you've got these two opposites here. God operates on truth. Satan operates on lies and deception and untruth. And the Bible says that when we sin, and we commit the sin of lying, and we speak untruth, and we practice that on a regular basis, it's deceitful. And when it happens, God hates it and must judge the sin of lying. Don't you wish you had always told the truth in your life? Well, that's what we're to do every single day of our lives. We're to lay aside this morning the old rotten rags, the dirty clothing, the awful, nasty garment of untruth. Somebody say amen. Amen. Here's a second piece of clothing that we need to lay aside as the people of God. Look at verse 26. "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Anger in and of itself is not wrong. There is such a thing as righteous anger. Are y'all with me on that? I mean, you remember Jesus got angry when he was going through the temple and saw how the temple was being used. Wasn't a house of prayers being used for everything else but that. And man, he cleansed the temple. That's righteous anger. And you know, injustice ought to make us angry. Racism ought to make us angry. Pornography ought to make us angry. Child molestation and rape and incest ought to make us angry. Human trafficking ought to make us angry. There ought to be an amen in the house somewhere, y'all. Abortion ought to make us angry. The illegal use of drugs and alcohol ought to make us angry. You see, it's possible to be angry and not sin. So what does sinful anger look like? Because that's what we're talking about. That's what needs to be laid to the side. I'm so glad you asked. Look at verse 31. Now what we've got here are the five traveling companions of anger, okay? Five traveling companions of anger. Here they are, verse 31. "Let all bitterness..." What is bitterness? Well, that's the refusal to lay down your anger. To just let anger kind of smolder. And I want to tell you, bitterness is an awful root. And by the way, if you're bitter at someone or bitter about something, it's not hurting them, it's killing you. Bitterness. And then he says, what's the next one there? Wrath. Wrath. Well, wrath is an explosion of anger. Violence in the streets. That's an example of wrath. Road rage. is an example. Debbie and Bubba caught some of that here a few weeks ago. Road rage is an example of wrath. We're to lay that to the side, get rid of it. Clamor, now that's a word we don't normally use, but when I give you the definition of clamor, you're all going to say, oh, me. Clamor is when anger gets to the point of screaming and yelling. And the result of clamor is normally abusive language. Can you see why that needs to be laid to the side? And then he says, the scripture talks about evil speaking. Well, evil speaking happens and when you're spreading gossip or slander, talking behind somebody's back. We all know we've probably all been the recipient of that if we haven't been on the other end of it. Amen? And then malice is simply having an angry, evil disposition. I've had people tell me before, oh, you know, after I blow up, I feel so much better. Well, what about all the carnage and the outcome? You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's hogwash, amen? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. By the way, that is great advice. I mean, that's wonderful advice. What Paul is saying, don't go to bed angry. Can I tell y'all, I've spent a lot of sleepless nights because of this verse. Don't go to bed. Settle your disputes with everyone before you go to sleep at night. That's great advice. By the way, if you can't pray and talk to God about an issue, more than likely it's an issue that needs to be settled because it's going to result in anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And then the scripture says, nor give place to the devil. We don't want to give the devil an opportunity to get a foothold in our life, right? I mean, if you give the devil an inch, he'll take a country mile. He's got a plan. He wants to destroy our lives. And oftentimes, he will wreck somebody's life through this deal called anger. We need to lay aside the dirty, rotten garment of anger. Amen? And amen. Thirdly, there's a third thing, an old garment, a rotten rag that we need to lay to the side, and it's that of stealing. Look at verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Stealing needs to be laid to the side. That's an old garment that ought to be taken off with the old man. There were some children lining up at a cafeteria line to eat lunch in this Catholic school. And at the head of the table, at the beginning of the cafeteria line, there's this huge bowl of beautiful red delicious apples. And the nun had put a sign over the bowl, just take one apple, God is watching. And by the time the children got down to the end of the line, there was a big bowl of chocolate chip cookies. And some little smart aleck girl had said, take all you want, God's watching the apples. Can I tell you, God's always watching. Isn't it amazing that God would have to tell us not to steal? That breaks the eighth commandment. Y'all know the devil's not only a liar, the Bible calls him a thief. He is a thief. And, you know, I mean, do Christians really steal? Y'all tell me. No. I'm afraid to tell whoever said no, you're outnumbered. We do steal. You ever heard of cheating on your income taxes? That's stealing. Oh, me. I know I'm meddling now, but what about exam day? For our younger folks who are still in school. What about paying your bills? Well, if you don't pay your bills, that's stealing. And I want to tell you, there's not a worse testimony for a believer in this community than to try to get by without paying your bills. That's wrong. That's wrong. Go talk to your creditors. Get it all settled. Get it worked out. But pay your bills, because that's stealing. And what about tithing and offering? The Bible says when we don't tithe and give an offering over and above that tithe, that's stealing. It's God's money. It's stealing when we don't do that. And let me just, can I just for just a minute, I don't want to chase this rabbit too long, but let me just give a plug for manual labor. Manual labor is good. Isn't that what he's saying there? He said, let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something. So manual labor, Jesus he labored with his hands. Paul was a tent maker. He labored with his hands. Joseph labored, did he not? I mean, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all labored. Working is good for the soul. I mean, it pleases God when we work hard. The work ethic in our country is going this way. My goodness, if you want to pass something along to your grandkids or to your children, give them a good work ethic. That pleases God, it says. Now, I want to say this. If you are disabled, if you are physically challenged, if there's some big health issue in your life and you can't work, guess what? That's okay. God's good with that. But let me just tell you, let me just be old blunt Cal Hampton. If you can work and should work and won't work, you're stealing. You're stealing from God, you're stealing from yourself, and you're stealing from others. Why do I have to work, Pastor? Well, it's real simple. Look at verse 28. Working with his hands what is good, that he or she may have something to give him who has need. By the way, God's interested in other people who are in need. And we work so that we can give folks not necessarily a handout, but a hand up. We're to help those in need. And those that work have extra. The reason God gives us extra is so we can be a blessing to other people. Right? Thank you. God bless you. What's your name? And so we need to lay aside the rotten rags of stealing. Right? You know, when we think of stealing, we think of being held up. You know, somebody going in a store with a gun. There's a lot of different ways that we steal. Lay that to the side. Here's the last one. Lay aside the rotten rag of filthy talk. Whew. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, building up, strengthening, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, Paul's talking here now about filthy, putrid, polluted, nasty, filthy talk, speech, conversation. And our language today is getting worse and worse. Our tongues are in the gutter, and the ladies are about as bad as the men. Amen? I mean, man, all you got to do is turn on the television or the internet, you hear all kinds of stuff. You know, God gave us a beautiful gift called speech. Did y'all know there's the power of life and death is in the what? The tongue. When you get home this afternoon, read James chapter 3. It would behoove you to do that. But, you know, birds sing, cows moo, dogs bark, cats meow, ducks quack, donkeys bray. But human beings are the ones who can talk. And profanity, filthy talk, and cursing is just a flat-out sin. Profanity, filthy talk, and cursing is a sin. And you know what I figured out about Cal Hampton? Whatever's down in the well is what comes up in the bucket. And if my heart is right, you know what I've noticed? My character, my conduct, and my conversation all fall in line. They're right as well. And so it's a heart issue. Need to get that thing right with God. And so how's your language today at the dinner table? Surely it's good. How's the language in the boardroom? How about the break room? How about the departments? How about the ball field? Mercy. I've heard so much. Anyways, I don't even want to get off on that. But godly conversation, godly speech honors God. Amen? And he says that our speech ought to impart grace to the hearers. Does your speech honor God and minister grace? And so filthy conversation, filthy speech, bad language, all that needs to be laid aside as well. And you know, when we don't lay aside the rotten garments of untruth, of anger and stealing and filthy conversation, it grieves the great big heart of God. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You see, grief is a love word. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, you can't grieve someone who doesn't love you. You can't, the word grieve means to cause pain and sorrow. You can't cause pain and sorrow for someone who doesn't love you. Are y'all with me? You tracking with me? I mean, but someone that does love you, hello? You can cause them pain and suffering. And when we are wearing the rotten rags of untruth, stealing, anger, and unclean talk, God is not only not pleased, His heart is filled with pain and sorrow. Now, I promised you all that I wouldn't leave us bleeding. And here's the antidote for everything we're talking about. Look at verse 31. We need to put on some royal robes. We take off those old stinking, rotten, filthy garments. And let's put on the royal robes of Christ. And here's what that looks like. And be kind to one another. Somebody shout hallelujah. We don't have a right to be unkind. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. There's one we've forgotten about. And forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And so this morning, as we have taken off these old garments that God's not pleased with, and we're putting on kindness and tenderness and forgiveness, those are the royal robes of Christ Jesus. And this is such a perfect segue into the Lord's Supper, because you see, God not only ordained and instituted communion, the Lord's Supper, in order to remember His death, but it was also another avenue in which Almighty God keeps us holy and pure. Holy and pure. And so as we think about these things this morning, we're going to have a time of reflection, a time for you to reflect and examine your heart and to lay aside some of this stuff that we're talking about. I had to do that this week, this morning, before I came here today. And then put on kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness. We're to remember the death that Christ Jesus, as we were singing this morning, have mercy. Did your mind go to the cross? And to the blood. Do you see Jesus hanging there for you? Do you see Him on the cross in your mind's eye? I mean, He's moving up and down just to get a breath on that cross. The blood's dripping. He's wearing a crown of thorns just for you. Do you hear the flies buzzing? You smell the stench of blood? Do you see His rib cage bulging, heaving, trying to get a breath up? And He did that for us. We're to remember His death. And thank God the Scripture says His blood cleanses us from all sin. And so as we sit down at the Lord's table here this morning, I just want to say this. It's not imperative that you are a member of Second Mile Church as you partake of the supper with us, the elements of communion. The cup, of course, symbolizes the blood of Jesus and what He did for you. The bread is symbolic of the body and what He went through physically and emotionally and spiritually for you. But we would ask that you've been born again. And we would ask that if you've been born again, that you repent and turn from all your sin, or you're going to drink judgment and eat judgment upon your life. And so this is a time to get holy. This is a time to get right with God. This is a time to do what God's calling us to do. Now, here's the way we're going to observe the supper. Number one, you don't have to be a member of our church, but we're asking that you have been born again. If you're not sure about that, come grab me. We can sit here at the altar. I can share scripture. We can pray. I can get somebody to answer all your questions this morning about salvation. But if you're born again, we would invite you. We're going to be doing this for all of eternity. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. But we would ask, when you're ready to come, just get up out of your seat. We're not passing plates. And we've got these trays. And in one cup, on top is the juice. And then in the bottom, there's a second cup where the bread is. And you'll take that back to your seat. When everybody's ready, I'll pray over the elements, and then we'll partake of the supper. But now is the time to come, and then back to your seat. Reflect on what God said to you this morning. Father, help us now as we come to your table. Help us to examine our hearts and lives, to get those issues right with you that you're not pleased with, and as we sit back down to reflect on your goodness and your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.